Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively here at Greenmount Station. If you're watching out on the webcam, I got my own little FIFA dream team here. We have the Carroll County crew today. We're up here at Hampstead, the beautiful Greenmount Station. I set up here because it's. I don't need to put it on the chyron. It's here. Unlike Howard, who brought all of his Duck Doctor stuff. Unlike my real sponsor, Zach Dermer, who helps finance this operation at Farner & Dermer, who has already chastised me because I was busy doing my laundry. I didn't wear my shirt. Howie, I didn't bring that big Super Soaker gulp cup that you gave me. I know you're going to wind up giving one to Casper Wells. Casper Wells is here, former big league player. I keep calling you visionary of the year, but you weren't. You were the runner. Who won?
Eddie Augustine won, and rightfully so. His son had leukemia diagnosed at 8 months old, and his older son was a bone marrow match that helped him. So,
all in the family. My wife's family was not a match, so hence Niels, hence our support of Germany. Yeah. I think I told you, my wife can go party with the German people in Foxborough on Monday, so I'm highly encouraging her to do that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but Howie's my lifelong friend. If you don't know Howard, Howard was our very first ballpark reporter. That's true. Our current ballpark reporter, is teaching youngsters at the sports broadcasting camp down at Loyola today. He took the assignment from me. Zach Dermer's here from Farner & Dermer. They're the comfort guys. And Casper, listen, this is ensemble baseball. Casper, you played in the big leagues a minute or three. What's on your mind baseball-wise this time of year? Like, what's caught your attention, other than maybe the Orioles trying to get back in this from the local perspective? But, I mean, you see the game differently than the way we see the game, even though Howard covered it for a decade for me, and we love the game. But playing the game, what catches your eye this summer?
You know, really, I think the Phillies kind of coming back. I played on the Phillies for a little bit, so where they started out and where they've been coming back is pretty impressive. Obviously, I give a shout-out to Richie Palacios, former Towson alum. I keep following him. He's been occupying my free time when it's not with Heller Cowitz or with my family. It's kind of checking out and seeing what Richie's doing.
Did I send you that Nabholz clip? Did I text you that? I took a screenshot, but I'm going to send it to you. Chris Nabholz, the other Towson guy. I was telling you guys before I went on. I've been going through my archives, all my FIFA stuff. I found the cover story I wrote on Chris Nabholz when he was an Expo.
Yes,
and he's
over.
The original Towson guy that played in the big leagues. Was there anybody before him, or am I nuts?
I don't think so. I mean,
is that three of you?
Coach Hunter. Hunter,
of course.
But, it's just really the three of us. There's a couple of guys drafted pretty high.
Did you know what a big deal Billy Hunter was? Do you know he was on an SK baseball card in 1955 as an Oriole? That he was the third base coach for the 1973 when Terry Crowley, who hangs out right here at the OTB, was playing on the team, you know? Man, if I would have had Crowley over here with the two, woo, that would have been something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I found out what a big deal it was when I was there. I didn't know when I was in college, and, you know, Mike Gottlieb introduced me, and I had conversations with Billy when I was in college, didn't know. But, you know, post-college,
you know?
Obviously, like, wow, okay. Yeah.
Well, I often wonder if young people even know who Jim Palmer is, right? Like, you know, I mean, there really is an age difference. Billy Hunter was like a whole generation behind that, kind of, sort of.
No, absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, you hear it, and if you don't hear it, you hear it from all the other Oriole fans that are around. So you learn real quick.
Well, the Towson tradition is strong. So, but the ABS system is the thing for me that – I mean, it kind of reminds me of like when instant replay came. It's like potato chips. Once you eat one, they never go back in the bag. Every single pitch, it's interesting as a viewer. And even like, example, it feels like a minute ago, but I was watching Kevin Brown call the game Tuesday night. Like, sixth inning of the game, the Angels guy threw a straight strike down the middle. He got called a ball. And he didn't challenge it because he lost the challenge earlier, but it was such a strike. And Kevin's like, well, you know, game changes on that. And I'm thinking, in the old days, there was no tap my cat. None of that. Old days was 8 weeks ago. This is a brand new technology that, if can you imagine if they took it away?
Oh, I mean.
That would be the worst, right?
I think, for one thing, the umpires have been exposed a little bit.
Absolutely.
About how bad they really can be. Yep. I mean, I'm not saying all of them are, but how bad they can be. But it's a whole different strategy now into a game, and you have to plan on when you're going to use your challenges. And last night, the Orioles used them early, and we're stuck without them. I think it was like the fifth inning they had a pitch or something like that, or sixth inning, similar to that, and they couldn't even challenge it.
What's your ethos on it as a player? Like, in the batter's box, looking back on all the at-bats you had, how many times you'd have screwed yourself and screwed your team. What are you laughing at?
Well, I'd be tapping my helmet quite a bit when Joe West would be behind home plate when I was up to bat. I'll tell you that.
Okay, it, so it was umpire-centric.
I'm very pro, and I'm coming from the offensive side, right, where I want more accountability for umpires, and it does help the hitters out because it's more offensive, you know, geared towards more offensive, you know, offensively just because it's tough to just hit in general with pitchers, you know, kind of controlling. You give them a little bit off the plate, then it's that much more they get. And then it's like, okay, now the plate's extended out.
Well, Maddox didn't need more, but he got it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and then when you're a rookie, you know, which I was, I felt like I was a rookie for most of my career, even though I felt like I was a rookie for more than 1 year of my career, right? So umpires would give pitchers a little bit off the plate and in regardless of where you are. So I think it's just a little more accountability, and it's like, look, it's a strike, it's a strike. I'm not playing favoritism with whoever's on the mound, you know, because he sends you a Christmas card, you know, and you know, Justin Verlander's on the mound and been pitching forever, still pitching, and it's like, we're going to give this guy whatever, you know, it's kind of evens it a little more because, you know, pitchers always had that advantage, especially since they're throwing well over 100 now, majority of them. So I think it just kind of levels the playing field a little bit.
It does, and I think it's actually exposed some pitchers, the guys that used to nibble a lot and maybe took that extra inch on the outside corner.
I like the absoluteness of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a good debate where we just came off an election yesterday. We can discuss things rationally. There doesn't have to be, black and white. But I feel like the strike zone was, along with hand checking in the NBA and diving in soccer, as I've watched 5 minutes or so. I finally put it on last night. First thing I see, broke my leg, get back up. And I'm thinking to myself, all right. In baseball, there's, you know, there was some acting, like you guys want to fight when you really didn't want to fight on a beanball or whatever. There's a little bit of a dance about it, but the strike zone was the ultimate dance based on, he's still pissed at Joe West, right?
Right.
I mean, the Angel Hernandez thing went, like, for every era. Well, right, there you go. But it's a strike zone. It's like in tennis, the ball's in or it's out, right?
It should, sure.
Basketball, the ball either goes in the basket or it doesn't. Like, there are these absolutes. Yep. But, like, I always found hand checking in basketball, like, what is a foul, and movement in basketball to be so game changing. But the strike zone in baseball, nothing affects any sport more than the strike zone in baseball.
So this is the thing, is Palmer brought it up last night, and I don't know if anybody listened to the game or watched the game, but he you know, the strike zone changes for every hitter because, you know, shoulders to the knees,
well,
and
they all got measured
and all that stuff. And he said he thinks that, like, most guys walk to the plate and really don't know what the strike zone is because they're used to it being kind of straight down the middle, and sort of last year maybe it was, you know, your stomach to your knees if you were 6'4" or something like that versus a guy coming up who's 5'11". Sure. So,
but psychologically, you can't get screwed anymore. Joe West can't really screw you with a bad call, and the umpire can't systemically screw you because your last name's not Gwynn or Ripken, right?
Sure.
Or Mantle or you know, whatever the name of the day would be, Bonds, whatever it is, to say that it's made it more equitable. Again, and I go back to this. I mean, you were a player, and this is really hard for you. Luke and I get into it. It's a television show for me. And literally, it's a television show for most people to watch it every night.
Yeah.
I don't go to every game. I watch it on TV. And as a television show, it now has had what, I don't give a damn about Dancing with the Stars, but the judges where, you know, the judge of the strike zone is especially in Latin ball, and we talked about this the last time you were on, it's part of the dance of why fans whistle or cheer or all that. Watching it on TV and seeing the strike zone and having it be absolute, it is more like a tennis match. It is more like, it's better. It was better the first weekend. I had you on early. I had you on early in the year. You and I have been talking for months. Luke just walked in. We talk every day. Can you imagine if they took it away on the 4th of July? All-star break, we change the rules. Players don't like it. Umpires don't like it. We get rid of it. It would be a setback for baseball that would be unlike anything other than the shift, maybe, right?
That's really the fundamental. Right.
Well, we'll get to that.
So
next year.
I guess the follow-up question to this is, you know, they're going to make changes going into next season with it. What are those changes going to be?
Get more.
The amounts. Yeah.
Is it going to be more? Is it going to be more time? Because sometimes you watch the catcher look at the pitcher and kind of wait to see if they should challenge it, and then the 3 seconds are up. I mean, it's really fast.
What do you think?
I'm not sure. because this is all new to me. So I'm just like right, you guys. I'm on the outside.
That's why it's so much fun to talk about it. Yeah. Because it affects every pitch, every decision. Pitcher, hitter, catcher, at any minute they can F their team or they can get that strike back or get that ball back. Yeah. Or, you know, early in the game, does it mean a lot? Well, it depends situationally. As Luke would always say, the leverage, you know, got guys on, we got guys off. Is it going to cost me a strikeout? Is it going to get me a strikeout? Is it going to get me a walk? Is it going to get me ahead in the counter? And all of that is nuanced and balanced in 3 seconds. So it's... they just made the sport a lot more exciting for an old fart like me.
I like it.
We can get to how lousy the baseball team's been or how underachieving or how late it is up at night or the strike. We pay all of that. We will, and might not even have an all-star. But, I mean, in a general sense, when I talk baseball, especially with a ball player, by the way, Casper Wells is here. Zach Dermer's here. Luke's, you toweling off from those kids? Kids wear you out? Look at him. He needs a beer. We got beer here. And Howard Scherer from the Duck Doctors. But what's second story behind ABS this year? We're not hitting a lot of home runs.
Well,
the story for me is watching it is how bad defense is. Just in a general, well, my team.
You're watching one team regularly that's defense is very good. I think the story is like Mizorowski, however you say his name.
Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, growing up.
Mason Miller, too.
Yeah, Mason Miller, right. I mean, when we were growing up, Nolan Ryan was like a god because he hit 100 miles an hour. Now everybody hits 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
that's why he's selling insurance.
Yeah, it is.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's
a
tough gig, dude. It's tough to hit a baseball, man. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question. So I think that's a huge story. You got a guy who's, what was the statistic I saw the other day? And Luke probably knows it, but it was like Major League Baseball might have had 40-some pitches over 101 miles an hour this season, and he had, like, 35 of them, or some crazy number like that. Like,
yeah. I think the one thing that's consistent with him, though, is his mechanics. So I think he's – and I say this with, you know, knocking on wood here for his
– as you do for all
his,
pitchers.
For his sake, right? Yeah, screw pitchers. I don't really care. I was but, no. But I say that because he's similar to, like, Justin Verlander in a sense. He has that very clean delivery that's – you could tell even though he's throwing that, it's just easy 100, you know, miles an hour. And I feel like he's going to be less prone to injury moving forward for his sake compared to some other guys where there's you could see a lot of torque. Even when side pictures with their arms, you can see how much that's like Tommy John waiting to happen, you know. So – I think for his benefit, he's doing it the right way and, you know, mechanically doing it the right way as well. So I think it's going to be – he'll be throwing 100 for a long time, I would say.
You know, it was also funny this morning I saw – sorry. They I think it was MLB posted, like, their National League Cy Young as of now. And, you know, if you would have asked anybody going into the season who was going to win the National League Cy Young, everybody would have said Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
He's third, you know, at this moment. And a lot of it has to do with – Miz, just because he's been so incredible. But
well, great stories are part of the game. I mean, going back to my childhood with Mark Fidrich or what if Fernando Mania, anything that becomes that is why we go to the game. So, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, you know, just in a general sense over the weekend watching the Dodgers. And I said, and you played in all the – do you agree Anaheim's the worst stadium, or did you hate Tampa
worst
more,
stadium?
Oakland? Like, you played in them all, right?
I mean, Tampa was just interesting. It was just bad for the whole interest. It's just – Tampa just they need a revamp like Tampa and have some kind of outdoor venue. I don't know why they have that big indoor dome.
Yeah,
so I would say that's probably the worst professional stadium.
You played in Oakland, right?
I did. I had my first major league hit there, so very,
good.
Very
I always
fond
liked
of that.
That
place.
I always
there's
stadium.
A lot of foul ground. It's an interesting baseball stadium. There's a lot of empty space and empty seats for time when we were playing in athletics. But I mean, it's still I like playing there, and I was on the athletics for a week's time.
Dodger Stadium?
Dodger Stadium's cool. Played there, yep.
What was your favorite?
Favorite stadium?
Yeah, to walk, not to hit in, but like not as a statistical thing, but like as a, like if you could take these knuckleheads to a stadium and say, man, I want to take you, I think Target Field, I like Minnesota. I mean, I went to them all. My wife didn't go to that one. I said, well, you know, if she would say, well, Seattle or Minnesota, I'd say Minnesota. If she said Minnesota or Pittsburgh, I'd say, well, Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, I can compare them like that because I've been to all of them.
Well, Pittsburgh's beautiful. I was there in the inaugural year. I actually had my first home run the inaugural year up at Target Field in Minnesota. So very fond of that place. That field's cool because it's built right in the city. It was clean. It's
cozy,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cold when we were there, but it's a nice field. You know, I don't want to be a homer, but I love Camden Yards. Like, I always – it's a great ballpark as a viewer, as a player, offensively.
Well, you feel like you're going somewhere when you go there.
There's just like, a lot of things going on.
How about
you know?
This? Nice. You've got kids. You're getting a little bigger. Luke was with a bunch of kids today. He's got nieces. If you lived in Columbia or Laurel, and I'm picking those specifically to say it's 20 miles that way, 20 miles, whatever, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever the drive is, and you'd say, I'm going to have an experience for baseball. Teams don't matter. Visiting team doesn't matter. The bobblehead doesn't matter. The uniforms, loyalties, Cal Ripken, Strasburg, none of that matters. Just the experience of going to a ball game. You would take Camden Yards 100 out of 100 over going to a Nats game. Now, the Phillies, there's an argument. The Phillies have a vibe that, you know, sure. you could say, well, the experience, you'd have more fun at the Phillies game than, but Camden Yards is a sexy. So you could make all of those cases. I think there's some places you can't make a case for because they're too cookie cutter. I think when I wax on about Dodger Stadium, for me, like Luke and I have a thing sponsored by Farnan and Dermer, by the way. There's a rumor that Luke's very generous boss friend and partner and co-host. We're going to go to Fenway Park and because he's going to cover a game there. He's been to Fenway but hasn't covered a game there backstage. And I'm like, oh, Fenway's Fenway, and I've been there a million times. But like, if you've never been to Fenway Park, it's got to be in the top five of a place you would go or want to go.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love it. It's not close. It's, you know, I've been there a million times. I don't need to go back. But every time I go to Dodger Stadium, it still feels special to me. And it feels like maybe it's the weather. It's so nice. And it's like all of that. Maybe it's the West Coast or the uniforms or the fact that they're good or the fact that the stadium hasn't fundamentally – it looks the same as it did on a postcard in 1966, you know, because Jan and Marie's that good and they have all that money. Fenway's still like a thing. You know, if it's Fenway or Camden Yards, I can make a case. Take the kids to Fenway if it was a 20-minute drive either
right.
way.
Correct.
Right, I would say that. Right,
but not in that stadium.
Well, that's why I can't fawn on Camden Yards because I can pick three or four places that I'd say in my heart of hearts I pick Camden Yards over Wrigley. I don't like Wrigley. I never liked Wrigley, so that's just the me thing.
Yeah, I mean you got the Green Monster too. It's pretty cool. Kids will like Green Monster. Yeah.
Well, I'm appreciative of the Farnan and Dermer for trying to send Luke and I to ball. We don't get to have any fun. I mean, I'm gonna break
fun.
Get you back to your air conditioner. Tell me what you do besides give your seat to Luke because. You know, you got to get back today. I mean, at some point it's going to be 90 degrees and people are going to call you.
Eventually it will be. Yeah, we do heating and air, repairs, installs, maintenance. Also, we work kind of alongside with Howard a little bit. You know, the duck cleaning man, duck doctor.
I know.
Yes,
you finally got me a sponsor. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no
He's
problem.
A good guy, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these years.
I owe you a crab cake or something, you know?
Yeah, indoor air quality. Yeah,
he got even for that Cancun trip.
Exactly. There you go.
That Cancun trip, man.
Yeah. Talk a little bit of baseball, but, you know. Not as knowledgeable as these.
Well, I like when the Orioles are relevant so we don't have to talk about the Cancun trip or, you know, FIFA or Stanley Cup or just stuff that's relevant, you know.
Right.
I want to get Luke in here. We're going to talk some baseball. Do you have anything for Casper? You guys, you know, it's a small world. The minute we all meet each other, like, I know him, I know Heller, I know Kovach, I know Schultz.
We're gonna grab lunch. We'll chat.
Yeah.
We'll chat one-on-one sometime. Yeah,
no, absolutely. I do want to know just overall trade deadline obviously approaching. Yeah, that's for all you guys. What do you think the O's are going to do? Can they be partial sellers, partial buyers? I mean,
I'm worried about who the cook is. I'm worried about Elias. To me, I wouldn't have Elias making his decisions if he's not your long-term guy. They're new owners. There's a lot of money involved. A lot of Rutschman, Henderson value involved. It really is a crucial time for the organization, I think.
Yeah, well, they drafted two catchers, right, in the top in the first two rounds last year, or first round, two first-round catchers. I mean, they have guys coming up as well.
One is gone, though.
And I feel like... One of them's gone?
Yeah, one of them I think they traded
Bodine.
For Boz. Right?
Yeah, I think
it's part of the Boz trade.
Right.
Well, I feel like you guys are coming up a lot quicker and, you know, and to bring it to the college, I mean, college is really helping Major League Baseball because of a lot of people, just the eyes that are on college baseball. I think a lot of the draft is shifting towards drafting college guys with having less of the farm system in place. So guys
it
are
feels
getting
closer to the basketball football system than it did before.
And it really
even
should.
When Robin Ventura was the number one pick, it was like he would come up. But that influx of names that we saw on TV last week with Ben McDonald and the College World Series, that translating to names in the real World Series in the next 3 to 5 years.
You can't discount these kids that are in high school that get to go to college for oodles of NIL money, right? I mean, it's baseball, so you're not making the money like football and basketball, those players are. But at the same time, if you can go to college, get some money for it, and you know, and get an education paid for. I mean, it's like, why would you sign out of high school to go play pro ball, right? Because you can get an education paid for, you get some extra cash.
You saying it wasn't fun playing in the high A league and riding buses the way I did out of Vegas? I went through high desert.
Yeah,
I was on a bus in the morning from Vegas to see the Rush show, and I'm coming through in the desert, and I'm like, high desert. Didn't Rick Dempsey play in high? Like, I had to look on the map, and I was born. The stadium's right over there, and I'm thinking, oh man, all you guys that played ball, you went, whether it was Schenectady or whether it was Fresno or whatever, like, skipping that, if Gunnar Henderson could have just played 2 years at a college and gotten some money and then been major league ready at that point, it might have been more fun for him than playing in Salisbury or whatever, or Aberdeen, right? Like, literally.
There's still some places. I came through Oneonta in the Tigers, so that's like close to the Hall of Fame, close to where I grew up in upstate New York. So,
well, that's kind of nice.
That's City
nice.
Of the Hills. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
There was nothing wrong with
the
high
New York,
desert.
New York Penn League was great.
Felt dry.
You know, all those places in New York Penn League. It was fun. Brooklyn Cyclones down there.
Did
Staten
you play
Island.
Cape Cod or any of that kind of cool stuff?
No, I was going to go play in the Cape for the Chatham team, but then I got drafted. My junior year, I was going to go play there for the A's.
That always sounds so sexy. It's like being an REM before they broke, like living in the back of the van. I don't know. You know what I mean? The Cape League like sounds like something you make a good movie about, but in reality, living with some family playing by, I don't know. Maybe.
I think 20 years ago was a much bigger deal than it is now. I mean, again, money.
Did you play in the Caribbean?
Did I play like
in the Caribbean? Yeah. No,
winter ball or anything?
Winter ball?
Yeah, I played in Venezuela and San Domingo. Yeah, I played for Escogido and I played for Caracas. Yeah, so.
See.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Get out of here. Go do your HVAC thing.
Yes, sir.
410-367-7777. Comfort guys. Zach's here. Crab cake. He had his broiled. I had mine fried. My friends at GBMC. GBMC sponsored. They're not like you. They don't look. They're trying to keep me alive over there. You know what I mean?
So that's why you got fried food?
It was 5 ounce. It wasn't a big fry.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I got the steamed broccoli.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like my mother, this guy. He cares about me, you know?
If your doctor's watching, your doctor needs to know.
The duck doctor. That's right. My buddy Howard. Casper's going to stay. Luke's going to come. He has no idea why. And Zach's going to leave, and he knows exactly why. And dessert for the parting shot. We're at Greenmount Station. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at GBMC, and the aforementioned Comfort Guys at Farnan and Dermer. Back for more on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And crab cakes are so good here today, I'm going to have two. I'm going to get a broil one just to mellow it all out and even it all out. Back for more in Carroll County, Hempstead. Stay with us.